There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour of live local talk. And as I mentioned at the end of last hour, when we were having our conversation with Secretary of State John Merrill, we'd be checking in with one of the people that would be affected by this move of a runoff date in AL1's Republican primary, but also somebody who's very busy right now doing the work of a Mobile County Commissioner. That's Jerry Carl. Thanks for hopping on.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And I know we're cut short because y'all got a meeting coming up shortly.
We do.
Yeah, let's talk about Mobile County Commission stuff. Where, from the county's perspective, what are y'all doing in reaction to the declaration of the state of emergency from Governor Ivey, and how does that trickle down?
We will vote at 1:30 on our own declaration of emergency, and I assume it's going to pass, obviously. Commissioner Hudson's out of town. Ludgood and myself are here. I met today with the entire staff, all the management staff. We viewed, most of them spent the weekend trying to figure out what we could do without, what we could do with, how the people we could protect our people, as well as protect the people that are coming to us. When you start talking about license tags or even bringing in recycling goods. I mean, we covered virtually everything. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to just send people home because we don't want them to have contact. We want to keep them busy, and keep an income coming to them. So we'll find some jobs for them. But we're really encouraging people, if you're going to do something, figure out if you can do it online the next couple of weeks.
Right.
If it's to pay a bill or even submit any type of documentation, check it out. See if you can do it online first.
So, I mean, do you have any idea what will be curtailed? Obviously, there is a triage list of public safety and those issues, but down the line, is it shorter shifts? Is it going to be closing of anything in particular?
We're going to close all the county parks. We've got to limit those, so those will be closed.
And those are
which will affect some baseball seasons.
Okay.
We've already reached out to some of the baseball teams. I think they fully understand. If anybody, you wouldn't want a child out there with an exposed child throwing a baseball around. But we just got to use common sense, and that's what we're trying to do here. Most people call it a panic. It's just mainly precaution,
right?
And we've got the view, especially those of us that have parents who are still alive. It's more about the elderly than it is anything else. So, we just got to take precautions and wade through it. So they're telling me that the next 2 weeks will be the determining factor. They think it has peaked. They think it's going to start dropping off. And when we start getting that signal, things will go back to normal. But we don't want people coming and trying to pick, for example, come down to the animal shelter and pick a dog out. That's, we're
closing
that type of stuff,
exposure
to that.
Okay, so things like that are non-essential be there, but those public safety services, those key services we expect from the county will be there.
Oh yeah, by all means. We don't want to affect the construction industry in any way. We're going to process permits and draft plans as fast as we have in the past. We're hopefully faster. We're going to continue that because we do not want to affect all the other businesses. For a government to shut down, most people don't realize, especially downtown. if we shut down downtown, all the restaurants, you know, that, that depend on us and the people that work here during the work days, it would just be devastating. So we're really trying to be very sensitive of the business community and what we do here, and at the same time, take care of our staff.
Yeah, I mean, okay, that's what you and I were talking about during the news break, and I'll just go ahead and pull back the curtain that you and I were both talking about. I worry about people. You're talking about construction. People got to be on a job site to make a dollar. People in the service industry, in food and restaurant and beverage, they got to be there on down the list. I know I'm going to miss people here, but that's a tough situation. And right now, with the closing of the schools later this week, that's double tough for families.
It is. I know with my personal businesses, we're making arrangements for the parent, the young families that have children, and we're making arrangements accordingly. We're letting some actually work from their home. Not all businesses have that privilege or can do that.
Right.
But again, you know, we're trying to starve this thing out. And that's the way I try to view it. You want to starve it out. Stop it from having any more bodies to move to. So far, Mobile, as far as I know, there's been no recorded cases here, or reported cases, I should say.
Right.
So we're in great shape, but still take precautions, and maybe after two weeks or so, we can look back and we can say, oh, it was all a hoax. Well, maybe what we did worked.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, starving it out, that's a good way to say it there. In a situation where we're not, you know, we're just trying to, I'm trying to keep it away from those older folks in my family that I care so much for. That's what I want to do. I'll make sure that they don't have a conduit. There's not a person that can get it to them.
And you know, I read this weekend as much as I could find on it, but you know, this it's not a particular virus. This has got four or five different strands in it, and depending on your immune system is a strand that you can actually get. A strong immune system via an irritated throat, that's as far as it makes. Irritated throat and runny nose. I mean, a very weak immune system, those will actually attack the lungs, and that's where we have the problems.
Yeah, pneumonia and that's obviously right. Very bad. I want to talk about something. So we just talked with Secretary of State John Merrill about he's waiting for an opinion from the Attorney General to delay the runoff date. You've been campaigning very hard through the primary, and then obviously in the runoff, even double time here. What does it mean to your campaign? Because there's a news story out today. We're talking about that you have suspended ads here for your campaign during this. Let's talk about your runoff here for AL1.
Well, we made the decision last night with the staff that, you know, we want people's focus on their families. We won't focus on things other than politics, because there are things that are more important than politics. So we chose to pull our stuff off, and we do anticipate the date of the election to be moved. No one likes it. Certainly someone in the situation I'm in, that means I have to raise more money. I have to keep the staff paid. You know, I have to carry this on another whatever, a month, month and a half, 2 months, however long it is. You know, I haven't been doing this but for a year and a half, so it's you know, it's not like I'm in a hurry to get it over with, which that's a joke. We all want it over with. But you know, we have to put public safety first. And that's what we're doing. We're just saying, okay, let's suspend everything. Let's deal with what we're dealing with here, or I'm dealing with here on a county basis. I'm county president, county commission, so I've got to deal with these issues and be ready to respond if anything should come up.
I mean, but that has got to be, I know there's got to be a back time strategy. If you know, okay, you woke up, it was actually that night, you knew you were in a runoff here in AL1 in the Republican primary. Y'all build a strategy coming back from the runoff election day to the first day that you got started. So that's got to put a pretty big wrinkle in that. I mean, that's got to change a lot.
It has, and you can't put enough strategy in for a date to be moved. So everything we've got will go into a tailspin. You know, our budgets we set up are pretty much useless at this point, and again, we'll just have to go back and refigure. We want to obviously see what comes from John Merrill's office first,
right?
And that'll tell us where to start from, and then we'll start from there and move forwards. But you know, if we did hold elections today, let's say we did hold our elections on this given date, there may only be 10% of the people that turn out to vote because of this virus. Is that a good way to win or lose a race? I mean, you want people to speak, and 10% is not much of a sound.
Yeah,
you know, coming from the people. So I think it's a good thing. Nobody wants it. Nobody likes it. But you know, we'll just deal with it. It's like everything else in life. You just deal with it.
All right, and remind folks too, because you're about to go into that meeting, so I know I need to let you go. But coming out of this meeting and this vote, we will have more information from the county on what's going to be the policy going forward.
We will, and we've never dealt with anything like this before. Look for it to change. It's going to be very fluid because we don't want to shut things down for the sake of shutting things down. We may shut things down further, or we may open things up without any notice, because we want to keep those jobs and keep try to cause as little problems for the you know, folks in their daily life than we have to.
There you go.
But cool heads will prevail. We'll get through this. Let's just starve it out. That's all we're doing. We're starving it out.
All right. Mobile County Commissioner and candidate in the AL1 Republican primary runoff, Jerry Curl, with us. Thanks for your time. We'll talk again very soon.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. They got to get to the meeting, so we will be right back. Take your calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. What's your business doing? Your place of employment? What are they telling y'all? You coming in? You doing the telecommute thing? What about when the kids are home as well? What are you going to do then? Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I'm just watching a little video of New Jersey's Governor Murphy talk about theaters, casinos, big deal there, parks and all that, closing at 8 p.m., like a curfew, 8 to 5. How does that... I guess any time that people are limited in travel, that would help solve the spread. But number one, that's a pretty big leap in civil liberties for this, and 8 to 5, like it can't be spread any other time. And then he went on... And by the way, hey, I'm Sean. This is Midday Mobile. And then he went on... And also, I was talking about, well, you know, I'm my name is Murphy, and I really miss the not celebrating St. Patrick's Day, but I'm taking a lick for all of us. I get it. Hey, Murphy, I'm Sullivan. Speaking of which, I don't know if I did put it up. Yeah, I think I did put it up on my Twitter feed. If not, I'll get it up there. Guinness, okay, Guinness beer, right, put up an ad. They got this ad turned around like 3 days. I was reading the story about it. Guinness beer has an ad out about... they never say it's such a well done ad. It's brilliant, is what the ad is. And in the ad, they never mention coronavirus or COVID-19, but you get it. And it's they're kind of thinking about all the people that are affected by this, and you know, the bars and the restaurants and all the people associated with St. Patrick's Day. That's such a big deal for them. Really good ad. If you Google new Guinness ad or Guinness coronavirus ad or something like that, you'll get it. Or I'll put it up on the feed here if I haven't already. It is really a good piece of work. If you just want to study a piece of like advertising done correctly, it's that. All right. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Do we want to talk about the Saudi Prince super yacht capsizing? Just for a second. In amongst all these other calamities or imagined calamities out there, this one's real. I'll put boat people out here. Listen to me for a second here. Story from The Sun said a $79 million super yacht owned by a Saudi prince capsized and partially sunk when it was docked in Greece. They said the 230-foot Nurah of Riyadh, owned by Prince Turki bin Mohammed bin Fahd Al Saud. Try getting that on a driver's license. Prince Turki bin Mohammed bin Fahd Al Saud. The superyacht was being lifted out of the water for repairs when it capsized. This is like, if you want to picture this, and I'll pop this up on the Twitter feed too, but if you want to picture this, think... If you're a child of the 70s and 80s, something like my age, picture whatever the yacht would look like for a bad guy in a James Bond movie, right? Bad guy, James Bond, bad guy yacht. You know what I'm talking about? Those. It looks like one of those. It looks like James Bond, bad guy yacht. It's not like a fishing boat. It's a super yacht. It says has 11 cabins for up to 22 guests, including a master suite and VIP stateroom. Yeah, okay. Well, they were, I guess... getting it in, trying to get it in dry dock, lifted up to do some work on it, and they dropped it sideways. So just wanted to put that up. You can go through and look at this bad day. I mean, if you've had a bad day, if you've gotten a boat flooded, got an issue, you hit something with the boat, you're, you know, worried about the fiberglass on your boat, take a look at what happened to Prince Turki bin Mohammed bin Fahd Al Saud's boat there in the United Kingdom. All right. That is, let's see, now it's up on the Twitter feed. Also, yes, this is real. Fox 5 out of New York has a headline here. Do not call 911 just because you ran out of toilet paper. Does this story need to happen? Do they need to tell people? Are there people that are confused by this? Are they pranksters or are they really confused? They say one police department in Oregon posted a reminder on its Facebook page asking the public not to call for an emergency if they run out of toilet paper due to the coronavirus outbreak. By the way, I believe that Big Bidet has to be behind some of this. Police in Newport, Oregon wrote, "It's hard to believe that we even have to post this. Do not call 911 just because you ran out of toilet paper. You will survive without our assistance." That it goes into all the different things they suggested in their story people could use other than toilet paper. But are there... They got to be pranking them. And if they do that, can't it... You big trouble? We get big trouble, I think, if you prank the 911. Okay, and the question earlier about de Blasio, he was talking about the government taking over the supply chain for medical supplies and all that. Still, de Blasio, at a core element, I'm so different than so many people on the left. There's some similarities. There's some things. I do not believe in the case of supply chain that the government's going to do it better than the company's already doing it. Right? Fred says, because I'm asking this question, what about your... situation at work? They said, Fred says, my work is having some percentage of folks work from home. A coworker told me she was part of an experiment. I said, no, she's part of the control group. Those of us at the office are the experiment. So some of y'all are going home, some are staying there. Let's see. Yeah, and somebody, and I'm with y'all. There's a lot of people talking about, you know, my job in construction, my job in this and that, I've got to go to work. I get it. That's what I was talking about with Jerry Curl, is how do you do this and make a compromise, right? It's not going to be perfect for either side. There's those on that want nothing done and those that want everything done. How do you do something down the middle here that respects those people that got to go to work and make a check, those businesses that are out there doing it, at the same time says, hey, we don't need to, you know, we don't need to have people in the mix here. Would it he say starve it out? I think that's well said. If there's no new people to infect and move from person to person to person, you can starve out this virus of new hosts for the virus. So there's something to be said there. Oh, and because I know you've gotten an email. I know you've gotten a notice from somebody to talk about what they're doing for coronavirus. And if it's like your business, obviously it's a big deal. Your children's school, it's a big deal. Maybe your community group, maybe your neighborhood, those kind of things. But there's ridiculous stuff. I told Dalton this morning, he and I were talking about them. I got one from a boot manufacturer, and then I got this one. Now, of course, I am stereotyping myself, the kind of emails I get. So a hiking boot and work boot manufacturer sent me something, and now I have something from, I'm sure, you know what, I'm just going to say the name of it, because I know a lot of y'all probably have maybe gone up to the Smoky Mountains, right, gone to the Smokies for vacation. You know the Nantahala Outdoor Center, the NOC up there, where they do the whitewater rafting, right, and all the different, and the kayaks and all the hikes and all that stuff. They sent me an email here. Now, I don't have a current trip planned with them. We haven't been with them in 2 years, not for any other reason, just hadn't been there. I think they're good folks, and the whitewater rafting is a lot of fun to do. But I got an update from the Nantahala Outdoor Center telling me what their response to coronavirus is going to be. It says, our team will continue to look into state, federal, and international resources and guidance and appropriate steps and best practices, such as social distancing, which you can't do on one of those rafts. You can't socially distance on the raft. So, but I don't know. It's just odd. Out of all the emails that have been coming in, this one came in from the whitewater rafting folks to tell me what their policy was on coronavirus. So, duly noted and moving on. More of Midday Mobile coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you here. Phone line, text line open for you at 343-0106, 343-0106. And lots to talk about here as we're waiting to, waiting for Mobile County Commission went into their meeting at 1:30, and we'll find out what else has been changed. We had a little bit of heads up there from County Commissioner Jerry Carl of they said they're going to obviously close only the things that they need to close. Tough thing is how many things are those. I mean, basically said, you know, your public safety services, main services from the county will be there, but for something like a pet adoption or something like that, use common sense and maybe wait on things like that. But we'll get, I'm sure, an official memo coming out of the county commission, and that we've talked about what the city of Mobile is doing and other cities in this. Then the state directives, you know, we're getting updates daily from Dr. Scott Harris from the Alabama Department of Public Health and the governor's office. So we'll keep you in the loop on that. And it's sad as we go through this list of things that are being postponed or canceled that, by the way, if you're hungry, this is going to be a segment here because we're talking about a lot of food in this segment. So this is maybe a post-lunchtime deal here as we're talking about, number one, the UCP, the Mac and Cheese Festival.
Right.
And well, Wayne Dean, Dorothy, welcome. Welcome.
And my wife, Doris, is here for... Not for UCP, for
no, another. But food. We're talking moon pies, or we're talking mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
So first of all, this is something you came in last time we were here, and you're telling me about Mac and Cheese Festival. You're talking about, you mentioned gourmet mac and cheese, which
right.
I still don't believe that exists.
Right, yeah,
I think it will,
and you just will have to wait a little while.
So what's happening here?
Well, when the city wisely canceled all the permits in the parks for a few weeks, we were one that got, you know, trapped in that, and rightly so, because we were... You know, we were at Cathedral Square on the 21st. So we're looking now, and we've been in touch already this morning with special events from the city. And we're looking at, we postponed it. We're going to have it hopefully sometime late spring or early summer.
And we'll keep it. It's, you know, wait and see, right?
Yeah, I mean, wait and see.
None of us
and
know.
Tickets will be honored. You know, if you hadn't bought your tickets, they're still on sale. Buy some more. And we'll, you know, we'll see you down the road.
Okay. So that is. Not canceled. The
not
words
canceled.
Are important. It's postponed.
Postponed.
All right. But I'll tell you what's not been postponed or canceled. That's the work y'all are doing with UCP.
That's right. That's right. It goes on. We still serve, you know, over 700 families every month.
And once again, I get you to stop on that every time you hear 700 families.
And so
how many people are we talking about?
Well, I mean, you want to put in
here.
A family, two, three, four, five.
And I can imagine that those, the things that those folks need are probably even going to be more critical now if they don't have, you know, the kids aren't going to school, or people are home from work,
right.
Or the times are, this is going to be tough for a lot of folks out here.
Yeah, one of the ladies, when I went into work this morning, was sitting on the couch doing her paperwork, and then she was off again going to visit homes all over, you know, South Alabama.
And this is something that, because of the name, United Cerebral Palsy, we think it's just that, but you've mentioned how many different things y'all do.
Yeah, at any given time, we could have up to 32 different disabilities that we help with.
See, people just don't know that.
And like we say, if you have a loved one or a family member or friend, neighbor that may need help, and you don't know who to call us. We may be able to help, we may not, but if we can't, we hopefully be able to find you somebody.
And what are y'all doing with closing, not closing with UCP? What's happening?
Well, of course, our preschool is tied into this
which is
county
right by
system.
By his office.
Which is right by my office. Greatest
cool.
one. Interacting with the kids this morning. They always come by and say good morning. And
love it.
If they don't see me, they come around the boxes or whatever's in the room and say good morning. Or I have to go out in the hall. It's great. But our preschool is... kind of on the same schedule as the county schools.
Okay.
So they will be closed starting Wednesday. And, you know, I believe they've contacted some of the families and said if you don't want to bring your child in tomorrow, that's okay.
Okay.
And then we do have an adult daycare. It's not a daycare. It's an adult program where they actually do things. And we are closing that because, again, these are people that are at high risk.
Right. And it only makes sense.
Yeah.
So that was the postponement of food talk.
Right.
What's happened with UCP? But your better half, Doris, is in here to talk about the something we could do. Could we do this at home? You are, first of all, welcome.
Thank you.
And you come in with a cookbook with moon pies. Am I close to being right here?
Yes. Now, Death by Moon Pie.
Death by Moon Pies. Okay.
A great thing that just struck me before she goes and talks about the actual book. A lot of families are going to be stuck at home during this this time.
You talking about us? Yeah.
Yeah. You can get some moon pies and you can make all kind of good stuff with the kids and even some healthy salads that. Yeah, okay. Which is unusual.
Make a few things before those moon pies are stale from Mardi Gras.
Okay, wait a second. I want to talk to Wayne. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Doris now because you're talking about salads and moon. But Doris, first of all, what prompts a moon pie cookbook? Just the density of moon pies around here, or what?
Really, it was just my family. We're a Mardi Gras family, and all a little crazy, I think. But the family encouraged me to do this. Back in 2003 was the first edition, and we had been making moon pie ice cream before that since, 1990s, early 1990s for church picnics on the lawn,
right.
That sort of thing in the summertime. You always have ice cream. And we had the idea one day of chopping up moon pies and putting moon pies in it and making moon pie ice cream, and it kind of went from there.
Okay, so how in the cookbook Death by Moon Pie, how many recipes are we looking at for moon pies?
Oh, I think there's about 50 in this edition.
50?
I think so.
50. Okay, so you gave me ice cream, and that's a flavor that we all know and love the idea of moon pie ice cream. But take me the more exact, like, what else do you use moon pies in a recipe?
Well, a few unusual things. We have some salads, we have sandwiches, we have a souffle, which is a lot like a yam souffle, with a moon pie type topping. We have a moon pie dressing, which goes great with ham, and there's shish kebab and...
I'm just going to stop you at a few of these. We're going... Okay, shish kebab. Okay, mm-hmm. Is the skewer have moon pies and other items on it?
Yes.
I'm going to read this one. It has alternating bite-sized chunks of ham, pineapple tidbits, and moon pies until the skewer is full.
So the moon pies go on the grill?
You broil it.
No,
oh, you
under
broil
the
it.
Boiler.
Okay, because I was
just
like,
until they start to melt.
And you can serve it with rice.
So that's a good pairing of moon pie with your starch being the rice there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moon pie.
And you can use apple or figs.
Moon pie salad. You said, Wayne was looking at me to see my reaction when you said that, Doris. Moon pie salad, how do you do that?
Okay, well, we have a couple.
A couple? Okay, go ahead. Shoot, give me the easiest one here.
Mighty Inca Sunny Orange Salad.
Okay, so what happens here? So this is...
Well, it's a gelatin recipe, but it has a ricotta topping with mandarin oranges and pecans. So,
and moon pies.
And moon pies,
that's the obligatory moon pie.
Now, is it... In the cookbook, do you lean more towards chocolate moon pies or vanilla or banana or...
No, mostly vanilla and chocolate, but we also state that you should perhaps be creative and try different flavors because there's so many out there now.
Right.
But we don't have too many of them thrown on the street, I don't think so. But you can go out and buy these moon pies, and of course, Toomey's carries them. So... Be creative.
Costco, yep.
Uh-huh, or Costco.
Okay, so this, and also before we run to the news break, this book is available where?
Toomey's right now, and hopefully at the Moon Pie Store year-round pretty soon.
It's also available at the History Museum, but of course that's one of the venues temporarily closed. It's available at Invoco Art on O'Shell and Hornet Bookshop.
Is there, and if people are riding down the road and don't jot this down, can we go to the Facebook page or somewhere for this for more information?
Probably the easiest way would be just to call me, because we don't have a Facebook page per se.
And, okay.
I can give you that number. It's 753-0546. Well, they can Google Death by Moon Pie and something will pop up that they can get in touch with us.
All right. This one here said, okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I got some questions on moon pie. Can you all hang out a second? Because people are asking me questions on cooking moon pie, and I've got no idea, but I do have people in here that do. Doris was talking about the book, once again, Death by Moon Pie?
Yes.
All right, coming right back, talking moon pie recipes with you right here on Midday Mobile. Phone line, text line, 343-0106.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, by the way, I asked this question the other day, and it looks like this is the first. Remember Dalton when I asked about the beer? And that, I guess it's not the beer, it's the hard liquor. They say now with the hoarding issue out there, with people hoarding toilet paper and the water, I didn't understand. I still don't understand. I mean, hurricanes come and I get hoarding water. I get, filling up our bathtubs, doing all that. I don't know how the people are buying all the water. I really don't understand that part of it. I do understand, like, going out and getting your medications and things like that you need to have on hand. That makes sense. Those things are normal. But now they said there's a big run and there's hoarding of liquor going on somewhere in Los Angeles and in the Northeast. People hoarding liquor. So I don't know. It's the nice thing about being, I guess, a grown-up and not... We got bottles of liquor we haven't even seen in our house, so we'll be safe. We can ration that out. Also, in your home, you probably already have the supply. You don't need to hoard the moon pies because you already have them from Mardi Gras. Maybe you will go out and get yourself a couple boxes because we're talking about Death by Moon Pie, the Moon Pie Cookbook, and Wayne and Doris Dean in here to talk about... How many recipes did you tell me during the break are in there?
Did you count them?
Yeah, somewhere 32 to 40.
Something, about 40.
And 40 recipes
and
here.
And the thing about it, once you, like there's four, I believe there's four ice cream recipes. But once you do one or two, then you can say, well, I like this, that. You can make about 20 or 25 different ice cream recipes from what's here using your own imagination.
All through the book, we stress being creative with some of these recipes.
Well, okay. With all due respect, they're all very creative because you're using moon pies as from a salad here to frying them to the fried one. This is your Fred Richardson homage here, the fried moon pie.
Yes.
So what do we do differently frying a moon pie than something else? Walk us through this. Anything different in that process?
Well, we have
take the plastic off. I know that, right?
Right.
Okay.
Of course. Or the aluminum foil, whatever. But yes, it's and we have a recipe for that. But I've heard people using pancake batter to do this. I haven't tried that myself
like
yet.
Like coating the moon pie.
Yes.
In that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It opens and so up great possibilities.
Mm-hmm. So okay, you've got that for the fried moon pie. Do you just use tongs to remove it from the oil or
yes, spatula I think works better. You have to be careful. Slotted spatula
because it's going to be soft, right?
Yes.
When it comes out of the fry.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put we recommend putting powdered sugar on it.
Taking it up.
Beignet.
It's like a moon pie. I like it. Like a moon pie beignet.
Yes.
The recipe, I think, that has gotten most attention here, obviously you said ice cream and those kind of things, but you are taking this with that many recipes in there. You're taking it in places that the moon pie maybe never has been considered an entree item, right? Dessert or something,
yes.
But not an entree.
Yes,
but
desserts and entrees.
That's what I'm saying. Desserts
and appetizers, really.
Mm-hmm. Appetizers. Mm-hmm. Moon pie on the half shell? What are we doing here, Doris?
I'm thinking of KOR
ham bite.
KOR ham bite.
And I notice a theme here with all the naming of the recipes, yes.
But toothpick with vanilla, cut up vanilla or orange or whatever, moon pies and ham, cubes of ham, and melt them just a tiny bit. Wonderful little appetizers.
Now, this is one of these things I have to taste, because right now I can't picture the taste of the ham along with the moon pie. Now, but I guess it's sweet and savory.
Uh-huh.
And
great.
Now, Sean, you have to understand that when she first started doing this, the first edition, this is the third, we had to test all these recipes.
Sure, you
and
did.
And you volunteered. I got volunteered for. Some of them I enjoyed. But only those that came out of this tester ended up in the recipe book. But they all have a distinctive taste. And ham and moon pie are, and depending on whether you use, as she said, vanilla or orange, you could use chocolate, I guess. Or you could use, what was the one, the salted caramel. Mm, whatever
that,
you want.
That
whatever,
may be good with that.
You know, whatever you, your taste.
But the ham in your testing seems to be better with the moon pie than some of the meat.
Yes, I think so. But you could try other things. I think the ham probably, the sweet, goes better with ham.
All right. So from shish kebabs to ice cream to deep fried and everything in between, Death by Moon Pie with these recipes. And you can once again pick up the book where?
Okay. Toomey's for sure. He's carried it since my first edition.
Both locations.
Mm-hmm. And also, in addition to the recipes, are history notes on Mardi Gras. And that's important, I think, to tourists. And
little vignette. History Museum has it. The Haunted Bookshop, Invoca Arts on O'Shale Road, and the Moon Pie Store is going to be carrying it.
It seems like if they want to call themselves the Moon Pie Store, they need to have the Moon Pie Cookbook.
They will have it, and of course, all of these locations are year-round.
Good deal. And so we can find that at any time.
Anytime.
But I imagine it's real popular going into New Year's and going into Mardi Gras.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this is great stuff. We'll talk about this, and this is a this is going to be a maybe a project for people at the house, like you said. If they're going to be there, they got the kids, and maybe for lunch for the kids
during
the school day.
Definitely something to do with your children right now.
Let's make moon pie salad, kids. See how they like that.
Or ice cream.
Who likes ice cream? Oh, yeah, that's right. And remind folks, too, not canceled, but UCP's Mac and Cheese Festival is
postponed, and as soon as we get a new date, everybody will know.
Okay.
And I will be back on here probably to tell you about it.
Very good. Yeah. That's the deal. Thanks for coming in today, y'all.
Thanks for
having us.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 for Mobile Mornings. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Remember, online at fmtalk1065.com. And we're waiting to hear opinion from Secretary of State John Barrell. Well, he's waiting to hear opinion from the AG's office on whether there may be a postponed runoff day. March 31st is on the calendar. Constitutionally, it says you have to, once it's set, you can't move it. But what about in this situation? Waiting to hear that from the AG's office. We'll let you know more about that. You always keep up with us online, fmtalk1065.com, facebook.com/fmtalk1065, at fmtalk1065 on Twitter and Instagram. All right, Feinbaum on the way next. I'll talk to y'all mañana.